For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Final service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Monday morning, September the 7th, 1992. It is a teaching and deliverance service.
Well, here I am out of the kitchen. Thank the Lord. Look at the crowd in here already. Praise God.
Irma loves See's candy.
Now, don't get me fat.
So, don't get her fat, but if you think about it, when you come to camp, I think she'd love to have a box of candy. So,
nuts and chews.
Yeah, those chocolate ones.
Yeah. We'll pray for the chocolate demons later, but we'll just take care of it.
Well, we should tell them we're going to pray for the ice cream demons out of him. He started laughing. There's a whole bunch of us up to eating at the table, the ministers, and he said, well, if you do, I'll only get seven times worse, so you have to buy seven more times ice cream. Well, so much for that. We got a lot of things here to do today. There's a lot of unfinished business here to do today. Now, somebody came up to me today and said, I don't quite understand this about the rapture. Well, I grew up in early Pentecost from 1932, and I was threatened when I was a kid. You better behave yourself. The rapture may come today. So I never dreamed that there might not be a rapture until one day. You know, well, I said, well, if it comes today, there's nobody in our church is going because nobody's without spot or wrinkle there. At least I could see that. Because that was a smart aleck teenager's answer. Anyway, there is a book that will really help you. The Bible will really help you. It's all in the Bible, but it's called The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory by Mel Bailey. And he lays out all the scriptures that will just startle you when you read them about how the wicked's going to be taken out and the saints are going to stay. Well, I've never been too wild about flying up through the air anyway and going somewhere and eating 7 years during the tribulation at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't care too much about eating. Because the more you eat, the harder it is on your heart, and especially during camp meeting. Now, some days I can really lay it away, but I'm not working so hard. But the more you eat, it takes so much energy and blood to work your heart, to digest your food. So, and I attribute my strength to the Lord, naturally, but for not being overindulgent. We have a lot of Christians with what the Bible calls slow bellies or gluttony. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, there's a little book, The Rapture, by Bill Griffin.
Yes.
And then there's the Wilson's book, which is...
yes, quite a treatise on that. Well, one day, I got to read the scripture first. Let's get Lord Jesus. We ask for the Holy Spirit to just take control now, Lord, because there are many, many people here, Lord Jesus, that need help, that don't, they've come for miles and miles and miles. And Lord, they need so much, and we don't want anybody to go away disappointed. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus, for the anointing. I pray for the Holy Spirit to just rise up in all of us and give us open ears and a hungry heart to hear. And I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I want you to turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 in the 8th verse, talking about Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. I think that suffering is very difficult, but you sure learn a lesson if you suffer enough. And we have suffered a lot. We have suffered over our daughter. We have suffered over many people that have come through here and then got delivered and then denounced it later because their pastors denounced it. I suffer because of that. I suffer because of the young people. And suffering sort of mellows you. Now, if we hadn't had any problems with our daughter, and you came to me and wanted me to pray for your children, my stock answer would have been, why didn't you raise them right? We raised her in church. And the bottom line, I'll tell you the problem, she's a darling girl. She sings beautiful. She used to sing with Phil Kerr. If you know anything about Phil Kerr in California, he had musical groups, and the time she was 15, she sang with his group. And but as I told you the other day, I didn't know or understand too much about the occult. I had never really been to a fortune teller. I had never seen a Ouija board. And I had never indulged in deep sin, because when I was 10 years old, we got saved. My family had never been to church before in our life, except when my grandpa died when I was 6 years old, and never been in church. And the Lord reached down in a little town of Missouri of 200. We lived on a farm. Two evangelists came in January and held a meeting, and 60 people got saved in that little meeting. And many ministries came out of that meeting. And so then I stayed in the church and believed every word they said from the pulpit, never doubted it. I never even thought that it might not be true. But when we started going to Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings back in the early 60s, and then the deliverance ministers came, and the very minute I heard Derek Prince for the first time, I saw all the way back the problems that had been in churches and ministers falling and Sunday school superintendents falling into sexual perversion and all of this. Then I realized it was the devil. Before that, I didn't even know about the devil, except my dad preached, if you go to the dance hall or the movies, the devil will be there. You better stay out of them. I still believe that's true today. I'm not too much for movies at all. But when we started coming back and telling our church, and we were very prominent in the church, about what we were seeing and hearing at the Full Gospel, our church became very angry with us. And so we eventually left the church. Yes, and that was the greatest thing that ever happened. But we suffered. We used to sit on the couch on Sunday morning and think we were backslid. And on Wednesday night, we were always at church. Always. Our family was always at church. Our son and daughter. And we never ever dreamed that people could be so mean and angry with somebody about deliverance. And so that caused great suffering. But it caused us to look in the Bible. Before that, we never read the Bible much. We read the New Testament some, but not very religiously. And we were told the Old Testament had nothing to do with us anyway, that it was all past. Well, we found out that was a lie. But one day I was reading, Glenn was making tapes, and we were still going to Full Gospel Businessmen, and I was reading Matthew 24 out loud to Glenn while he's making tapes. And pretty soon I said to him, how in the world, how can there be a rapture when the very elect is here during the tribulation? You start reading the Bible, you'll find out a lot of things. And he said, what Bible are you reading out of? And I said, my good Schofield. And he said, well, let me get my Bible. So he got his good Schofield. So we had a little discussion. We read the scriptures. He said, now don't you talk about that to a soul. Not a soul. Well, I had to obey him, but I didn't want to. I wanted to find out. And I'd read that over and over. I'd start reading the Bible clear through. And I'd mark all these scriptures. And I'd ask him. He said, don't talk about it. But one day I got brave enough and I asked some very close friends of ours. They lived out. We lived in Northridge. We all had new homes. And we were real, real friendly. We cooked together and ate together. And I said to her, and she was a Four Square. They were Four Square people, graduates, and very spiritual. I thought, well, they got thrown out of church same time as us. And because we took them to a Full Gospel meeting, and Kenneth Hagin was preaching, and he was telling about his sister, I believe it was, came into church. She had cancer real bad, and he looked at her, and she had a monkey hanging on her. And now this was earth-shaking back in those days. And he said, I looked at it, and I said, you can't stay there any longer. And it answered him back, well, I know I can't. He said, all right, you're going to have to go. And he said a few things, and the thing jumped off and ran out the door, and she was healed. Well, that, you know, that really stirred us up. I know you've heard a lot of things this week that stirred all of you up, but we started getting stirred, and that's the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody. But anyway, then we started going to various meetings, and we had never gone out of our church. We stayed right there. I mean, we were faithful, and I'm great for being faithful to anything you do, whatever you do, and do it with all your might. Don't do anything half-heartedly. That's pretty silly when you got 24 hours a day to do it with all of your might and strength. So we started going, and I remember once Dick Mills said, I'm going to exercise your spiritual senses today. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to go on now. In Hebrews 5, now go to 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Oh, was I ever dull of hearing in the early days, and I'm trying to get so I can hear the voice of the Lord all the time. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, there are so many milk Christians today that you marvel at how little any of us know, because we've just had milk, we've fought in our playpen over baptism, we've hit each other with our bottles, but we've stayed on milk, and when we start getting some meat, like we've had here this week, it's hard to take. Let's read the 13th verse. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Boy, was I ever a baby. I'd been to church all my life practically, but I was a babe, and I didn't know I was a baby. I thought I knew quite a bit about the Bible, but I really didn't know very much. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, Dick Mills prayed over me that I would be able to discern good and evil. Before that, anything anybody wanted to do, I said, well, whatever they want to do, let them do it. And I was just worldly and Christian and worldly and a Christian, but worldly Christian. But I changed. I started changing. The Lord started opening my spiritual eyes. How many would like to have your spiritual eyes open so you can see not only the angels, but see the evil one? And so you'll be alert. I started seeing, oh my land, what I saw. It would frighten me to death, and I would not know what the Lord was showing me. I remember once a lady had a black nose. She really didn't. It was white. But when I would see her in the spirit, her nose would be real black. And she was a friend of mine. And I said to Glenn, can you see that black on her? Yes. And I mean, she was as black as a colored person. And I said, what do you think it is? He said, I don't know. So I would pray and pray and pray. And one day Dr. Ulane on the Today Show said, we doctors can always tell when people are about to die because their nose turns black first. Right on the end, and then it'll just gradually. And so I cried, and I said, oh, Lord, don't let that woman die. And he says, that's spiritual death. You're seeing spiritual death on that woman. Now, isn't that something? Now, don't go around looking at everybody's nose, but I mean, when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, then I used to see people as animals. And that would just scare me. One time we were at the Philadelphia Church in Sweden, Stockholm. That's supposed to be the most spiritual church in the world. And we were there with Brother Prince and the whole full gospel troop. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, the whole church, all of them had on shrouds, sitting there like corpse. And I trembled. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant at all. And death had come to that church. It was dead as a doornail, but had a big advertisement, the most spiritual church in all of the Assemblies of God. Well, I won't tell you everything I saw, but I would just see things. I'd say, now, Lord, I don't want to see that. He said, but you asked for it. And then I would hear, not voices, but I'd hear him speak to me. And then I would walk down the street, and somebody would spit at me, nice looking, and say something. The devil would talk right out of him, and I'd hear it, see. We don't know how many people have meant the evil spirits, but if we're deaf of ears, see, whatever we see of the good, we're going to have to see the bad, too. It's the spiritual, if you're seeing out in the spiritual world. But you need to have discernment. We had three friends that watched that man on TV, that preacher. I'm not going to call his name. He used to be a wonderful minister. In fact, we used to sell him black tapes. He comes on with his big black cigar. How many has ever seen that preacher with the big black cigar and all of that craziness? He has a reprobate mind now, but he used to be a spiritual, and we don't see, we don't have a cable, but my sister-in-law said, now I want you to watch a minister that you know on cable. So here was a chair sitting in the middle of the platform with a phone number on it, and she said, now that's been there for days. He don't come out. He's mad because they don't send in money. But we have three friends that we know about that is so taken up with mind control that one of them gave him $5,000 of God's money, and somebody else gave him $25,000, and there's two women that used to come to our prayer group that run around sort of like, you know, what about silly women? The Bible talks about silly women. They run around to all these places and all this way out things, and they gave him all kinds of money, and they just eat up when he talks. Oh, don't you think the body of Christ needs some discerning of spirits? See what spirit people are of? And we need to be, I'll never forget when the sense of smell was exercised. You can smell those sexual spirits when people come around you, and they may take 14 baths a day, and they can smell it too, and they keep taking baths, but that doesn't get rid of that demon smell. And then sometimes you smell the lily of the valley, the beautiful. How many would like to have your spiritual senses exercised? Also feel the feeling. I remember once we were at a convention, and I saw a big snake wiggling under this girl's blouse. And the girl, well, Blanche Reynolds was sitting beside me. She said, look at that. I said, yeah, that's horrible, isn't it? And when you put your hand on some people that are so demonized, it's like putting your hand on a gunny sack of snakes. I tell you, we're in serious times. I don't know if you people want to be serious, but I want to be serious. I also can have a lot of fun with my seriousness, but I mean, we are living in times that we've got to wake up and grow up and get this strong meat in us and read the Bible. Now, nobody, if they ever got up and talked to us severely, like I'm talking, and say, get in your Bible and begin to read and see what the Bible says, I would have appreciated that. I really would have, because I like to read. What else did we miss of the five spiritual senses? Taste. Now, some people say, well, I have a taste for chocolate. You're not preaching yet. And somebody else has a taste for fat. We've gone to people's house, and they have the big standing rib roast, and it's got fat about that thick on the top, and the father and the daughter were both like this, and they'd cut that fat off and put it in their plates and eat it. I didn't know the Bible said eat no fat, or I'd have told them. Now the man's dead already, prematurely dead, death. You know, when you're cut off, you can be cut off with death, or you can be cut off from sickness, with sickness. Anyway, we need these spiritual senses exercised, and would you all like for us to pray?
Yeah.
That your spiritual senses, now remember, you're asking.
Yeah.
And I love to feel the angels when they come. Every once in a while, I can sit at my desk, and I'll feel a touch on me. And you say, boy, that is spooky. No, it isn't. It's wonderful. And they give you a blood transfusion. They give you strength. I'll say, Jesus, send the angels today, because I sure need some help and strength in this office. And I'll feel them. They come swift. And they'll touch me on the wrist. They'll touch me They'll touch me, and I get that strength. You know, we have to move into the rest of God. Anybody believe in the rest of God?
Amen.
We've got to move into that. We can be ever so tired, and 5 minutes of the anointing can just revitalize you. And I tell you, a lot of it is in your head, though. You give in too easy. You give in too easy. This morning, Glenn heard me. I was, you know, going to bed at 20 until 12 and getting up about a little after 5. I was in that bathroom. Lord, send the spirit of might on me. I need that strength today. Lord Jesus, I need you. Let the weak say they are strong. I am strong. Boy, pretty soon I started to believe it. I came right out of it. Is this saying anything to any of you? Well, we're going to ask for this, our spiritual senses to be exercised so we can handle some strong meat. Meat makes you strong and healthy if you don't eat too much or if you don't eat the wrong kind. And I've been on that every day, and I know you're all going to get angry, but you better read the Bible and find out what's abominable, because we've had two close friends, and even my father died of cancer, and he was a wonderful minister of God for years. And he would be so upset at me that he would go down and buy a ham and bring it in here. But he died of cancer because that was abominable. We have another friend that just died of leukemia, a very close, wonderful man of God. But he would always try to take us to some place where they had shrimp and lobster and all that kind of stuff and pork. The day before he died, I was up there, and this hospital, Blessing Hospital in Quincy, brought him in ham and eggs, and he would lay in that bed in a coma, and I'd ask him, would you like me to bring you something? No, honey, I'm so sick. And it was in his liver, and the doctor told me, when it goes to your liver, you're done. That's it. Curtains. And I'd try to feed him a little. No. And I saw him bring that in. Sometimes I wonder what nurses have ever taken nutritional lessons. And they brought him in that ham. He sat straight up in bed. I saw that demon, and he cut that meat up himself, and he gobbled it down. And the next day, well, he was already practically dead, but the next day he died. See what demons can make you want to eat the wrong thing? Well, I tell you, I have to tell it like it is. I have a tape back there about tumors, why we get tumors. I need to teach on it again. Well, we're going to exercise these spiritual senses. Everybody, get over everything I've said that's upsetting you. We've got to learn. We've got to read this Bible and see what's in here. There's a lot of secrets in here. And the secrets of the Lord belong to who? The saints. The saints of God. All right. Everybody, look to Jesus now. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to have our spiritual senses exercised more and more and more so we can handle strong meat, so we will know that we know that we know, so we can see evil and understand and run away and flee from, the Bible says, flee from fornication. Lord, we want to flee not only from regular fornication, but spiritual fornication. Lord, we want these spiritual senses so exercised that we'll be so in touch with you, Lord, and so meek and so interested in what you're wanting to say to us, and that we'll be so hungry for the things of the Lord. And we just pray for all these wonderful people, our friends, that their spiritual senses will be exercised. They'll be discerning evil from good. They'll be discerning angels from evil angels. They'll be discerning evil spirits. They'll be discerning wickedness in high places. Oh, Lord, we just praise you now to just come down with your mighty hand and touch these people. Touch their minds. We come against mind control from the devil in the name of We command our minds to come to attention to the Holy Ghost and fire. We command our bodies to come to attention to the mighty hand of God for obedience. And in the name of Jesus, we loose all of these people. We loose them to discern. We loose them to take strong meat. we lose them out of the milk realm into the realm of the kingdom of God. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Now, I know I've mentioned Brother Prince a lot, but he has played a great part in our ministry.
I want to make a couple of statements here, what she was talking about, before we get lost in another realm. But the things that Irma and I talk about, most of it are things that have happened to us.
We've experienced.
That's how we came to the understanding. It was back in the days before there wasn't anybody to tell us. Thank the Lord that there's those around to tell us today. But the argument, she's been talking about food, and I made some remarks about, but I want tradition has given everybody an argument about eating. And they've taken Peter's vision, and they've taken Paul, and they've taken this, tradition has taken this and used it as an argument that they can eat anything they want, without studying to see what they're using as their argument.
Well, they can eat anything they
want. Oh, you can eat anything you want. But it'll just get you to heaven quicker.
Yeah.
If you want to get out of here, just go ahead and help yourself.
That's rapture in a fast way.
Yeah, that's a rapture in a fast way. But if you will take the next chapter after Peter's vision and read the next chapter, you will find that Peter explains his own vision. And it had nothing whatever to do with him eating food. It had for him, give him the authority to go to the heathen nations, because he had three visions. There were three men, and they were all heathen. A vision for each man. And Peter immediately consented to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go sit down at the table and say, bring me a ham to eat. Everything he saw in that vision represented a tribe, a clan, or a nation. Today, our standards of different places are flags with animals on them. And everything he saw represented or a nation somewhere. The other thing is what Paul says. If you study the context of what Paul says, Paul is referring to meats and animals that have been sacrificed to idols. And then they're hung in the marketplace for sale.
Or strangled.
Well, that's a different thing. He says you can't eat strangled things. But Paul said that he could eat that meat. It didn't bother him. He could bless it, pray over it, and bless it, and it didn't hurt him. But if it hurt somebody who couldn't take that, then he wouldn't eat it. But he didn't say there that he could eat pork. Paul said that he's an Israelite of the Israelites, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And no way would they even touch it, let alone eat it. And he's talking about things that is offered to idols, that he said that he had permission to eat, but if it hurt his brother, he wouldn't eat it. So those arguments do not stand up if you study to see what they say.
You know, some people, just a minute, some people say they are Israelites. They're God's people, called Israel. And some people say it's only that they're only spiritual Israel. You can believe whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you how I believe. But
I believe I'm an Israelite.
But I'll tell you, if we're going to say that, we better start eating like the Israelites were told to eat. And if you don't know what they were told, then you should go into the Bible and read. Their clothes did not even wear out. Why? Because they didn't have any clothes made with blends. They either had pure linen, pure wool, pure silk, whatever. I refuse to buy anything that's a mixture. It'll wear right out. I've had this dress so many years, I'd hate to tell you. And I throw it in the washing machine, it's pure polyester. I won't buy anything that's cotton and polyester. I won't buy anything that's wool with rayon in it, or wool or silk. One eats silk, the other. That's all in the Bible. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. Read it. I'll give you 1 minute. I got more to say.
Thank you. I think the most startling revelation to me was when I began to look into the Bible as to what the Word of God says about foods, and I began to compare it with those things I learned in medical school. And in medical school, I graduated medical school in 1956. At that time, Dr. Harrison had just come out and said that you shouldn't eat animal fat because animal fat was bad for your heart and bad for your arteries. And that you shouldn't, uh, and, as you look at, if you look at the word, at the word of God about which foods are abominable and which foods aren't, and you compare them to the diet given to you by the cardiologist and the dietitian that will keep you in good health, you'll find that God was there 2,000 years before medical science. Mm-hmm. God was been there all along. And I urge you to very carefully at what the Bible says you should eat and what's abominable and what's not abominable. You won't lose your righteousness doing it, but you can sure get to heaven early and suffer a lot along the way.
Well, we came into this in about 1966 when a deliverance preacher came against serpentines in me. I didn't know what a serpentine was. How many knows what a serpentine is? Oh, talk about vomiting. The next day, I said to Glenn, what's a serpentine? He said, I don't know. We'd been up till 3 o'clock in the morning at a full gospel convention. I started to vomit. I vomited and vomited and vomited, and all I could taste was old pork that I used to hate anyway when I was a kid. And I said, I don't want any more of that. But I didn't even know it was in the Bible that you shouldn't eat it. See, God sovereignly did that. Then I had to look up. And I looked up, and a serpentine is anything that wiggles like a snake, viruses, germs that you can't even see. Seen or unseen, the dictionary says that. Now, I'm going to go into another facet of deliverance. And that is forgetfulness. Spirit of forgetfulness. How many read the Bible and read down a whole page and you can't remember a thing you've read? How many can really remember gossip? How many cannot remember what was even prophesied over you yesterday? So there's something wrong. Well, Brother Prince was at our house, and he'd been working me over every day, and he had me crying every day, and I hate crying women, I've always said, because I had so many typists and women working for me, and when we had a job to get out, I had no time for some girl crying over her typewriter. I'd say, get your hands on the keyboard, and let's get this job out. And I never used to cry. Now I cry a lot. I guess I like crying women now. But Mrs. Prince would say, Derek, I want you to quit making this child cry. She called me a child because she was about 80, 85 or something, or 80. Yeah, about 85. And I would just cry, and I didn't know why I was crying, but he would tell me what was wrong with me. Kept telling me every day. Well, the last day he said, I want to pray for you and Glenn. And that's when he told us we were under the power of fortune teller, and we thought we was pretty spiritual by that time. At that time, we were helping him pray for people. Well, he got that out, and then he came against something else. He came against a spirit of forgetfulness. Well, I've always been able to memorize, spell, straight A's in my books at school, and I tell Glenn he's worn my brain out asking me who this is and what that is, and what's their name. And so I thought, he rattled off several things. It's the only thing I remember of the whole thing because it was so colossal, because I was thinking, I don't have a spirit of forgetfulness that I know about. And all of a sudden, spirit of forgetfulness, you come out of her in the name of Jesus. When he said that, I jerked like that, and I thought, no, I didn't do that. That was not me. I thought, maybe I have got something. I was sitting in a chair, in a wrought iron kitchen chair, in the middle of their bedroom. And then he said it again. And about the third time he said it, a voice, not my voice at all, came out and said, no! And it was like I was sitting over there watching this go on. I thought, oh, my land. What in the world? And he said, you have to come out in the name of Jesus. And it said, no, we're not coming out. This is our home. Well, you have an experience like this, you don't soon forget it. That's pretty rattle your cage, I tell you. Then he kept saying again, and Mrs. Prince had a way of getting in high gear with tongues. And this thing, about the fourth time he said it, we're locked to her brain and we are not coming out. And I was just sitting there, not knowing what it was going to do next. And he started saying, I've got power over you. Jesus has given me this power over you, and so on and so forth. And you're going to have to come out. And he would argue with him, said all kinds of things that it wasn't coming out. And he says, how do you affect her? It said, we are locked to her brain, and we won't let her remember the Word of God. And I thought, is that saying anything to any of you? Won't let you remember the Word of God. I thought, that's true. I'm pretty smart and everything else, but I don't know very much about the Bible. And this was back in 1970, I think. And it said, we won't let her remember. Well, if you don't know the Word of God, you can't cast out one demon. You've got to know the Bible and say it is written. Satan, the Lord rebukes you. It is written. That's in Jude, I think, isn't it, Jude? Or Jesus gives me power over all the powers of the devil and all kinds of things. That thing started throwing me over, all over. It threw me out of the chair. They grabbed me up and set me in the chair, and I was just going wild. That thing was going wild. I couldn't control myself. And I like to be in control of myself. I don't want to be thrown, going into a convulsion or something. And that thing just kept on and kept on. And Mrs. Prince was praying harder and harder, and he was praying. Well, he said afterwards he'd never seen anything like it. And finally he said, you bow to Jesus and you come out. And I fell on my knees and coughed it out. And then I was like I'd been run over by a Mack truck. I tell you, every bone, every muscle in my body, I just laid like I was dead. They had to be taken to the airport, and they left, and I just laid like I was dead. But I'm telling you, since then, I am able to remember the Word of God. Now, how many would like to be delivered from the spirit of forgetfulness? If you really want to be delivered, put up your hands. Let's get real serious about this, because this is necessary if you're going to be a deliverance worker. You must stay in the Bible, and you must know the Word of God. We must know the Word of God. All right, we're going to repent. I'm great for repentance and the precious blood of Jesus. I think it was when I had the nervous breakdown and they gave me 17 shock treatments, and that would make you go into convulsions, you know. I think that was it. The devil has... When I found out it was the devil doing all these things to me, I really got angry with him. I really did get angry. And I'm still angry with him. When he hurts all of you, I'm angry. There's a lot of hurting people here this morning. Now, this is the last thing that I'm going to pray about, except we're going to pray for some sicknesses and diseases. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. You see us here, Lord. We want the strong meat along with our milk. We want deliverance. You say whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We ask you to cleanse our minds. Cleanse our subconscious minds. Wash us in the precious blood. Restore our memories that Satan has stolen from us. We command Satan to get out of our heads. Get out of our minds. We call on Jesus to deliver us from all mind control. We're sorry we've read all kinds of things that has displeased you and neglected the Word of God. Wash us, cleanse us, deliver us from all evil. We're serious, Jesus. We want to know the Word of God. We want revelational knowledge. We want to be able to say it is written. Because, Lord, that's the way you cast out the demons. And you're our pattern son. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to follow you and obey you. Deliver us from all disobedience to your word. Because of our ignorance, we've all almost been destroyed. But Lord, you're showing us and you're helping us. And right now, we just thank you for giving us authority over the spirit of forgetfulness. Amen. Now just allow the blood to wash down over your mind. A lot of cleansing needs to go in our minds and in our subconscious minds. I know when I worked in the aerospace industry, they said when I had the nervous breakdown that I could quote pages of engineering stuff that was in my mind. One day I asked for the Lord to take it all out of my mind. I don't need that anymore. I don't have to be worried about an atomic Q clearance or a secret or top secret clearance. I don't need that anymore. I said, Lord, just take all of this old debris out of my mind so I can fill my mind with the Word of God. And I know that's all of your prayers. Now we're going to give the command. I'm going to give the command for the spirit of forgetfulness. Now, I don't tell you that you have to go into convulsion or anything else. However the Lord wants to deliver you, just breathe out. Breathe out these evil spirits of spirits of forgetfulness. And we command them right now to come out in Jesus' name. All of this. In Jesus' name.
Take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind you.
Able to
you'll not tear
the
a home.
Come on out in Jesus' name. Come out of these
spirits of unforgetfulness.
Name.
Come out of every
one
of us.
Come
out of me.
In Jesus' name.
Loose me. Loose me.
Yes.
Loose me.
Loose
me. Loose my mind. Spirit of forgetfulness. Come out.
Come out
of these people. Come out of me.
Come out
of us. We will remember the Word of God. We will remember the Word of God.
Come out. Come out of their minds in Jesus' name.
Come on out.
Come out of their subconscious. All the filth. All the filth in their minds. Come out in Jesus' name.
Come and take care of you. I bind you and break your assignment. Jesus is Lord over this place.
Jesus
is Lord over this place. No way can there be any
Jesus
to anyone.
Name.
I bind and break your assignment in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of forgetfulness, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I bind you. Bind you. I break your assignment. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose us. Loose these people. Loose them. Come out. Come on out. Break your assignment in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Father, we thank you for the Spirit of the Lord to fill all these areas of our mind. Father, we thank you for the blood to wash and cleanse the subconscious of our mind. Thank you for it. Thank you for the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and to wash us. And then we thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill these areas, Lord, where the Word of the Lord can be retained, where we can retain and speak the Word of the Lord, that it is written in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Irma was mentioning about having a nervous breakdown. She was chosen out from Lockheed. Had about 20,000 employees, and they opened a new division of, huh? Well, they opened the new division of the missile division of Lockheed, and it was top secret. And they called her into the head office one day and said that the head men of Lockheed wanted to talk to her, and she thought she'd done something terrible and awful. And she went in and they said, we're opening a new division and we'd like you to become part of it if you would consent. And they said, it's top secret. It's a top secret operation. And if you'd like to come. And she was a 53rd employee of Lockheed Missile Division. She became department head, the first woman department head of Lockheed. She had the whole division of the typist, the repro, reproduction, artist, and all of this. She had several hundred employees under her, and she used to work two shifts. Well, anyway, all of this caused a mental breakdown, along with the fact that the airplane that crashed on the school grounds, our children were there, and our son was on the school grounds at the time of that plane crash. And she happened to be home that day. You may not remember, but a big four-engine plane and a fighter plane ran into each other over of Los Angeles one day, and this plane crashed on the school grounds of our school where our children were. And she was home and she saw it happen. And then right after that, why, she had this mental breakdown. The doctors told me that she would be there the rest of her life, that she would never reach come out from this. She was in a private hospital, and the doctors at UCLA used her to experiment with, to try to help her with shock treatments. And they gave her, she had 17 of those horrible things, and she was getting no better, and they told me that she would never get any better, the doctors told me. And after about, she was there about 3 months, and nobody at church, all the church, all they ever knew was that she was just sick and in the hospital. Our pastor knew, but the rest of the congregation didn't know. They, for some reason, I told our pastor that I should tell him, he didn't seem to want me to tell the people what was wrong with her. Well, one Sunday morning, I decided that it was time. 3 months was long enough. The doctors had told me there was no recourse, that she would be there forever. So I got up in church on Sunday morning and I said, I want to talk to you about Irma. Anybody who wants to hear me tell you about Irma, I want you to come to the youth auditorium after the service. And those who will be willing to pray for Irma, I want you to come to the youth auditorium and talk to you. Of course, I didn't have to. I just got up and did it. Well, about 20 people or so came to the youth auditorium and I told them what I've just told you. And I said, but I believe that if I can get some of you to fast and pray with me, that God will deliver her. Now, in the beginning, I had said to the pastor that I thought she had demons. I don't know why I said that, because I knew nothing about demons until many years later. And he said, oh, no, that's impossible. So I dropped it. But it wasn't. It was the truth. Anyway, I told him what was wrong with her and that the doctor said that she'd never recover. And I said, I believe if some of you will fast and pray with me that God will deliver her. So now I tell you what, now I was Sunday school superintendent of the church. And I was, when I got asked to leave the church, I still was. And I had been for 9 years. And I was actually almost assistant pastor because I did everything along with that. So I had a key to the church. So I said, I will come here on the way to work every morning and pray, and I will unlock the auditorium. And as many as can come here and pray all day. I'll be back here for lunch. So I'm going to fast, and I want you to fast if you will. So I'll be back here for lunch. It's about 10 miles to work. I said, I'll get here as fast as I can. I'll be here. I had an hour, took an hour for lunch, and sometimes it took an hour and a half because I was in supervision now at that time, and I didn't have to punch a clock. So I would come over and come for prayer meeting at noon, and I'd come to find out that there was a great number who were coming. And I'd come back after work and stayed for a little while and then went home to take care of the kids. And that was Sunday. Wednesday, well, you come and tell me.
I didn't even really know I had a husband or children. They knocked every brain out of my head. First three, they gave me sodium pentothal. After that, they would come in with those black briefcases, and I would start screaming. They'd take my rings and watch off, and I would just scream because there's nothing worse. You know how a little shock affects you. They'd turn that thing on until I'd go unconscious. And about Wednesday, I woke up. There was another girl in the bed. I said, where am I? She said, I said, have I had another car accident? She said, no, you're tired. I said, well, I'm not tired. And I got out of bed. I said, where's my husband and children? She says, well, your husband will come on Saturday. I don't think they let the children in today. And, but I didn't remember him ever coming. But I remember this girlfriend from the Four Square Church, our neighbor. We weren't neighbors then. But she would... They said that she would come and fix my hair sometimes. And I had kind of long hair.
She'd come once a week.
And I got up and I went in the bathroom. I said, I'm not tired. I got right up out of bed. And I still say I'm not tired. You know, I'm not giving in to being tired all the time. And I wasn't really tired then. I got up, I went into the bathroom, and I saw my curlers and my cosmetic case. I looked in the mirror. I looked like Phyllis Diller. My hair, I had long hair then. Oh, I looked so awful, and I kept asking this girl, why am I in here? What happened to me? And she'd just say, well, you need to rest. And I thought, well, I'm kind of tired. I don't know why I need to rest. And I said, and I started waking up, and she, and just, and I'd ask her questions. And you see, every brain cell that I had had to be reprogrammed. Because my mother would sit by ours and say, do you remember so-and-so? And I'd say, no. And then she'd tell me, and then it would come back. And God restored me. Maybe you think I still belong there. But he restored me and gave me a sound mind. And there's a lot of people in here today that have had nervous breakdowns. I want you just to come forward. Now, I don't want everybody, but I want people that's had nervous breakdowns. And the lady that come and talk to me before, yes, you come up here, honey. And other people that have had nervous breakdowns, or you're bordering on the nervous breakdown, or your nerves are just shattered, I want you to please come forward. We're going to pray for you. People that have mental problems. Yes, manic depressants. Now, I was never depressed. I was the hilarious type. I guess they were telling me that I was. None. Oh, my grandmother Wharton had a nervous breakdown, but I was so little when she died. But that, I never thought about that before. Oh, yes, if you want to come up, come right on up.
I went over on Saturday and found her, you know, in good condition. I think I went one day before.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave me permission that I could take her for a ride, take her out of the facility on Saturday. So I went over on Saturday and took her for a ride. And instead of going back, I took her home. And once I had her out of there, you see, it was private, and we had signed her in, and I didn't want to tell them I was going to do that, but that's what I had in mind, and that's what I did, and then the Lord restored
her. It's wonderful
her
to have a praying husband that'll pray for you.
But see what fasting and prayer did?
Yes.
That's what
it did. It pays to fast.
Well, Father, come in the name of Jesus. I take dominion over every spirit of mental problems here, schizophrenia, mind control of every kind, witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
I take a control and a dominion over all these spirits of mental problems. The spirits of the occult that cause mental problems. I take dominion over you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I bind you to the day of judgment, and I break your assignment over these people, and I loose these people from you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And I command you to come out of them and set
come
them free. We
name.
Have authority over you, and I break your assignment over them in Jesus' name.
Come out.
Break your dominion over this woman. Loose her in the name of Jesus. Come out. Loose her in Jesus' name. Loose her. Come out. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus.
There's one more spirit that we didn't talk about, and Phil has just brought to my attention. He was just delivered of it. It has to do with the mind. That's Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's, you know, just going blank. We have so many people calling us up, and they're just taking care of their loved ones that don't know from anything. Everybody that is fearful of Alzheimer's disease or has it in the family, or you're feeling that it's trying to come on you, I want you to stand up. Well, we'll pray for everybody. That thing can hit.
Yeah.
Her mother-in-law, everybody, we're going to pray against the spirit of Alzheimer's, the strong man of infirmity with the mind again, you see. If Satan can get our minds, he's got us. And that Alzheimer's is a treacherous thing. Father, pray. Father, we come to Jesus, and we ask you to deliver all of us. Not only from the forgetfulness, but from blanking out, from Alzheimer's, and any other thing that causes our mind to go blank. We ask you for your precious blood to cleanse our blood. If it is an inherited thing from our parents, Lord, we just thank you for your blood to wash us. We thank you that you were made a curse. That we do not have to bear the curse of Alzheimer's. Or any other mental problem. We want to have a keen mind. Basically, we want the mind of Christ. And right now, we command this Alzheimer's and any other mind thing to leave our minds now. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. It is written, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. Get out of our heads. Get out of our minds. Get out of our subconscious. Let us go. We break the curse. We break the vexation of not being able to remember things. In the name of Jesus, you go. In Jesus' name. Now let it go. Just let it go. Let it go in Jesus' name. Go out of the mind. Go out of their minds. Alzheimer's, go. Alzheimer's, go out of her.
My brain is not developed right.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I want everyone to give me your attention for a second. When I was talking to a couple this morning, I kind of struck something up. We had a conversation that really got things rolling on me this morning. But there's people we know of that have gone back to class reunions and high school reunions, have been there for 20 or 30 years. They go back there and see their old boyfriends, their old girlfriends. The next thing you know, they're leaving their kids and their wife and everything else because they're still under spells from old relationships. Or unhealthy soul ties or unhealthy alliances. And God wants to release your people today. A lot of women, we get into a lot of perversion areas as far as the lust goes. But my wife and I, when we go to prisons and minister to men, we come home and people think we just got off the turnip truck yesterday, but you know, we start feeling these men that go into sexual activities in their minds and desiring for women and casting lust upon other women. A lot of vaginal infections that women have is from lust from other men that have lusting them and those type of things. So we're going to ask God to release unclean spirits. We're going to ask God to release you this morning from those spells. And anybody I'm talking about, you don't want to be caught in by, you know, you say, well, that was back there. Well, if you run into them, they still hold power over you. You don't want that. That's why I sat here the last night or two and asked Glenn to pray for me for a spell from a gal 7-8 years ago. She said, 'cause I know that she still held an element of power over me. And you don't want that. Doesn't mean you have sex with them. It means that they have a power over you. You yield a part of your soul to them. You surrendered it by a desire or lust or whatever. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we come to you, Father God, and we ask you to release every person here from every spell, every part of witchcraft that's attacked their mind. All sexual perversion must leave their mind. All fetishizing must leave their mind right now in Jesus' name. I confess sin of the eye gate, Father God. All the sin of the eye gate, the lust upon pornography. I confess it for these people this morning. You come into agreement with me. I say, I agree with this. Say, yes, amen. And I ask you to release these people from all the perversion of the eye. In Jesus' name, all the time, every magazine they gazed upon, forgive and cleanse. Every pornography movie they looked at, I ask you to forgive and sin of the eye gate. Every form of lust they looked upon with desire to have sex with other women or men, we ask you to forgive that eye gate and cleanse that, Father. Cleanse the mind of masturbation, fantasizing. I ask you to release those areas today, Father God, in Jesus' name. I ask you to bind every demon, bind every spirit in the name of Jesus. And they must come off these people's minds right now, Father. In Jesus' name, release us all, God. Release it from every spell and every activity, Father God. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. Yes, Lord, all activity, Father God, in these realm, Father, we ask you to release them right now. Release them right now, Father, in Jesus' name. I don't have my glasses, brother. You got to read that yourself. Amen.
Spirit of fornication, I bind you. Break your assignment over these people.
Yes.
Spirit of adultery, yes. Incest, lewdness, I bind you. Filthy talk, I bind you, in Jesus' name. Homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, yes. Perverseness. Yes. I bind these spirits today, and I break their assignment over all of us in Jesus' name. Come out of us. Come out. I break your assignment. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out.
We break the curse. We break the curse of it.
Yes. Yes, I come
against.
And
the soul tie with all these people.
And all the soul ties.
Yes.
We break the soul ties and loose them from it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it.
Yeah. In case you want to know, part of the problem right over here is a hypnotist. If you've ever been hypnotized, put up your hands and come down here quick. Because
Amen.
Okay, come up here.
Come on.
Come up here.
Yes.
Everybody that's ever been hypnotized.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, see, that's a thing of the mind also. Yes, spiritualism. Hypnotic self.
People that go to mind control classes, AT&T is very strong in mind control classes.
Oh, yes.
Silver mind control, the quit smoking clicks, all that stuff. That's all occult garbage.
Okay. Oh, yeah, acupuncture, yes.
Yes, this is just praying. Everybody, we all need it.
Let's repent.
Yes.
Get the blood of Jesus down in there in that sin, where that sin is. We've done it all in ignorance, but see, Satan is a legalist. He's going to take every advantage of the saints, especially if you're trying to move on.
Father,
we come in the name of
Jesus,
and we ask you to forgive us for being inquisitive and wanting to be hypnotized or even watching it and looking upon it and any kind of magic or any kind of Houdini stuff. We renounce all of that of our ever looking at it. Much less indulging in it. And Lord, all the people that have been hypnotized by doctors or by anybody, even when they're little children, Lord Jesus, wash us.
Cleanse
us by your precious blood. And Lord, we ask for the authority.
Lord, we ask for the authority.
To cast these spirits out.
Cast these spirits out.
These hypnotic spells. And vexation. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We command you to come out. Hypnotic power in Jesus' name. Come on out. Hypnotic spell. Come out.
Come out. Jesus. Come out.
Come on out.
Come on out. Come on.
Get rid of them.
Yes, let them go. Bring them out. Come on, people.
In Jesus'
name, leave us now. Leave us now. Leave us now. Yes, we break your authority in Jesus' name. We come against you, Father. In Jesus' name, we come against them, Father. We break your assignment, Father. We bring the original sin to you right now, and we confess it to you, Father. In the area of homosexual and lesbianism, Father God, we ask you now, we bring the original sin, which is a curse of Canaan upon his life, his bloodline. That was the original sin of homosexuals. That's where Ammonites and Moabites came from. It was the incest and the perversion there in that area. And God, we ask you to forgive and cleanse these areas of the original sin of the curse of Canaan upon this homosexual and lesbian bloodline, Father God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
How many of you have taken the wishbone and broke it and made a wish?
Amen.
Everybody.
Yes.
Witchcraft. Father.
Yes.
Pray with me. Father, forgive me.
Forgive me. Forgive my wife for
innocently.
For innocently.
Indulging in witchcraft.
Indulging in witchcraft.
By breaking a wishbone and wishing.
By breaking a wishbone and wishing.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
And Father, I break the curse of that over everyone else here. I loose the curse from us. I loose us from the curse of it in Jesus' name. I break that power, Father, that we innocently were involved in. And they thought it was innocent, but Satan is not innocent. He takes a hold and hangs on every place he can. Yes. Well, I break that curse from off of us, and I loose us from it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father. See, all these little things, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Yes.
They're done innocently.
Yes.
We don't think anything about it,
yes.
And Satan's got a hold.
Yes.
Little by little,
yes,
he's
Lord.
Changing me.
Yes, Lord.
Little by little, he's
yes.
changing us. As we come to understanding and knowledge of these little things that we think they're so innocent. Yes, Ruth? The rabbit's foot, four-leaf clovers. Lord, forgive us for all these things. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us.
You know, as a musician, you know, you're more sensitive to some things. And one of the things where I'm sensitive to is the area of rock and roll music, because I used to be a rock and roll entertainer years ago when rock and roll first started. But the word rock and roll, people don't realize what you're saying when you say, even young people that go out and say, hey, let's rock and roll, see? Well, the word rock and roll, the root word for rock and roll means intercourse. That's a slang word for intercourse in the early 50s, and that's where it started at. And we're going to rock and roll. That's where it came from. And so the root of rock and roll is perversion.
Perversion.
It's just there. Perversion, sexual perversion. That's what its intentions is. It's to bring you into sexual perversion and into drug culture. That's what the whole thing is. And every movement, every activity concerning rock and roll dancing music is all toward sexual perversion. That's its intention. And so I think we all need to look at some areas of our life, listening to the rock and roll music. The records we bought, ask God to forgive us for spending our money toward these things, and ask God to release this many fire holes over us. In Jesus' name, right now, Father, I confess the sin of rock and roll music. God, we bring the original sin to you, Father. The root of it, God, is perverted. It's from demonic activities, Father. And God, we ask to release us from all its effect. Release us from it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Release my ears, release my mind from its effect, Father. Release my spirit, my soul from all this rock and roll music. And God, all the perversion around it. This is not just an old folks' prayer. This is a young folks' need to get a hold of this. And God, I ask you right now, Father God, to release us from the finance that we spend on these things.
Yes.
Release the sin of spending money on demonic activity.
Yes, sir.
And God, if we have records in our own house right now that we still hold on, burn them. Yes. Throw them away. Don't give them away. Don't sell them. Get rid of them. In Jesus' name, I ask you to destroy the works of Satan, Father.
Yes, that's right.
And God, beat the records, take them things and throw them as far as you can and shatter them. I don't care how much you think you can get from them, because they're nothing but perversion. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
What does it say? Jesus came to do what? To destroy the works of the devil.
Right.
And what does it say over in Deuteronomy? I think it's 23, verse 25 and 26. I think it's the right chapter. Where it says that you're not to desire even the gold or the silver. You're to destroy it and not to desire it. So if you've got something that's demonic, you don't sell it. I don't care what it's worth. You don't sell it. You destroy it. Because if you sell it, you haven't gotten rid of it. You still got the power of it is still there because you didn't destroy it. And then renounce it at the same time.
I was going to tell you what a word of the Lord came to a guy one night in a church service, kind of like this right here. And he said, the word of the Lord says to told his one brother, says, I want you, God wants me, told me to tell you to get rid of your Chevy. Don't sell it. Don't give it away. Just get rid of it. Of the Chevy. This guy was telling this other guy. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have a Chevy either. The preacher walked up to the guy and says, you missed it tonight, brother. So he didn't have a car. And so he said, well, I don't know. God told me to tell him to get rid of the Chevy. So he went back home. His brother came back that Sunday night service. He says, he walked up to the pastor and says, I got rid of my Chevy. He said, well, God told me, this pastor said, you didn't even have a car. He said, well, what it is, I have a marijuana crop. And in our town, we call our marijuana crops by different names of cars, Chevrolet, Ford, Dodge. And we could talk about our crops to each other and say, how's your sugar doing? Oh, it's doing pretty good. It needs a little water, da, da, da. And nobody knows what we're talking about. We named our crops, after cars. And so when he told me to get rid of my Chevy, don't give it away and don't sell it, he said, just destroy it. And so I went home and destroyed it. Hallelujah. Praise God.
It's Deuteronomy 7 and not 23. Deuteronomy 7. And it says, you shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, neither take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination unto the Lord your God, nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. But you shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. And lots and lots of Christians have abominable, accursed things in their houses, and it's causing havoc in their houses, and they wonder what their problems is. You get the things out of your house, and your problems will, in those, it's a lot of areas, will disappear.
Okay. Is there anyone who has Masons and Shriners, Eastern Stars in their family? Because I know this is
Malay,
mind power.
Demolays. Knights of Columbus.
And Zonta Club, I used to belong to the Zonta Club. They have one person of every profession in it. It can only be one person. One scientist, one engineer, one secretary, one all. And I had that Zonta pen, and I went to a few meetings. I thought, well, I don't have time for this kind of stuff. And I didn't go back, but I didn't know why. You see, the Lord many times will protect you. And bless his heart. Bless him, Lord. Oh, yeah, nice to meet you.
Okay.
Sororities.
It's sororities. Any secret sorority. Any secret sorority. You see, the house we have over here came because Irma's mother-in-law got delivered right here from the Eastern Star. It happened right here. So, Father, we come and in the name of Jesus. You all need to pray too. Father, forgive me for being part. Of a secret organization, and taking an oath. Now, in Jesus' name, I renounce the oath and ask you, Jesus, to forgive me. And thank you for the blood to wash these areas of my life that have been affected or are affected because of my joining this organization. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I take dominion over every spirit and every power that these organizations would hold over any person here, and I bind and break its assignment, and I bind the power of it, and I loose them from it in Jesus' name, and in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit, and I command it to come out of them in Jesus' name. I loose them from the spirits and the controlling powers that have come and have come unto them and have taken authority over them and hold them in bondage because of being a part of this organization. I bind your power, break your assignment, put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash. Father, thank you for the angel of the Lord to bind these up and to take them. I break the soul ties between them and this organization. At the same time, I break the soul ties between anyone here and any sexual powers or sexual partners or any other soul tie that binds. I cut those soul ties off. I loose them from it and break the assignment of it over them in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus' name.
By the word of knowledge, that there's someone here that... has been or is collecting masks. Masks that you put over your face can be Halloween masks, can be skin masks made out of animal hide, actors kind of masks, but it's masks that someone is collecting or you have some in your possession. And that the Lord is saying here that this has put a curse on your household. This has put a curse into your own family. And that you take these things and you destroy them. And that you repent of this collection, and that there'll be sickness that will flee from your house, and there'll be a mental oppression that will flee from your house, and that even this family that has been collecting these things is that you've been acting in strange ways, and that this will set you free. Amen.
We've burned a lot of stuff here that people have brought here. We've had bonfires here, and I've buried it and dug holes with the bulldozer. When the bulldozer used to set out here, I take the blade and dig a hole and then set it on fire. And then when it wouldn't burn anymore, I run over it and then cover it over with dirt. When we were working around here before all the blacktop was in, well, we used to have the bulldozer set right out here because we used it around here all the time. But if you've got anything in your house that the Lord shows you or you feel something strange about it, destroy it. Don't put it in the garbage can intact. Bust it up some way. Break it up some way so it's disfigured before, and then renounce it.
Also, there's a lot of people go on safaris and they bring back the heads of wild animals and they have them mounted. And I know one family that, well, he's a minister. They both were. And they had all, they used to go all kinds of wild boars, up, you know, and all kinds of animal heads and foxes and wolves and panthers in their house. And that woman got cancer and she was a dear soul. She used to teach here. She's a Bible teacher. She taught here. She didn't live here, but they'd come and speak. And the man is...
He refused to...
He just is in a black world.
No, he refused to get rid of it.
Oh, he won't get rid of it. The whole house, it makes you feel weird. And it's all those eyes looking at you, those dead animals. See, that's a gift. That's what he was getting at. And it's a mask. And then the Christians put on a big mask, a big front, you know. Oh, boy, the Holy Ghost is getting down deep in all of us. We got to throw away our Christian mask and turn to God with all of our heart. Well, why don't you break that wild animal and mask and somebody, I'm going to quit.
I can't implore you people enough to tell you to get rid of the abominable things that come into your home. It was driven really home to me when we had some family deliverance, and my son had a shrine of sword that had been given to him by his grandfather, and it was a prized possession. And after he went through deliverance, he said he would get rid of it and he would destroy it. And he went home and he just recently moved and it was packed. It was in the boxes in there someplace and he got to looking and he couldn't find it. And it got hot. And so he said, well, I'll go upstairs and lie down for a while. If I get it tomorrow, the next day, it's not important. And he went upstairs and he came back down in about 30 minutes and started looking. He said, while he was upstairs in bed, the demon attacked him. He said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. He left the stronghold. And so I tell you, he hunted until he found that thing and got rid of it. I tell you, you should get rid of it. I mean, if you have these figurines from third worlds of skinny people, and these are idols. These are idols. My wife and son went to Haiti, and they brought me back a pair of bookends. And they were funny-looking things, and also a goatskin drum, which was actually a voodoo drum. And I kept these things downstairs, and I used to leave money for my cleaning lady, and I'd put it under one of the bookends. And she'd say, she told my wife, said, you be sure and have doctor put it under the bookend now. It doesn't help if you put it, but if he puts it under the bookend, I always win a jackpot at the bingo game. And, you know, I said, oh! I took those things out and burned them that night. But then that night, God really worked on us. And I found all sorts of idols in the house. I just found all kinds of books. I had a large library. And so it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was hauling lumber down to the fire ring next to the, firewood down to the fire ring next to the river, and poured a lot of gasoline on it and got this blazing bonfire. And I had this little tractor, you know, with a thing behind it, and I was loading it at the house and hauling it down the river. And I was throwing them into, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, my neighbor came over, and he said, Bill, is that you down there? I said, yeah. He said, are you drunk? I said, I was getting ready to call the police. I saw this big fire. What are you doing? I said, oh, we're just burning some trash, Wilbur. Go back to bed. He said, you sure you're sober? I said, yeah, I'm sober. And so we burned. My son said we burned $2,500 worth of his books that night. I mean, we got all his mythology books. I mean, we got all of my witchcraft books. We burned everything. I had these books that I did research in, and I thought that, and we burned lots of things. I tell you that you need to get rid of the things, people. But I tell you what it did do. It lifted a pall off of our home. It lifted a pall off of our home. And I tell you that you need to get rid of these things because they are anchors. They give a demon a legal right to come back. You can't cast him out if he got a legal right. And he'll stay there and harass you. If you read, Irma's got a book back there. It's got a big picture of Buddha on it. And I says, it thinks it says abominable things. Or do you have a Buddha in your house?
You ought to get that and read it. It's very interesting. I had one of my single mothers brought a child in to me. He was waking up in the middle of the night screaming. And so I began to talk to her, and I asked her if she had any rock music, if she had any Dungeons and Dragons, if she had any, and I went through the whole list, and I gave her a list to look for. And so she went down to the WIC program and talked to the nurse and the social worker who worked for me at the health department. And the next day, they were all proud of me. Doc Miller, did you really tell this woman? I said, you didn't really say that. You don't believe that, do you? I said, well, come on back in. Let me tell you, ladies. So we think she's got... I said, you ladies don't know what she's got. She's got... That baby has night terrors. Now, you people go look up and find a cure for night terrors for me. And when you can find one, then you come back and talk to me. But if she'll do what I told her to, she'll get rid of them. And he said, well, she's not coming back to you. She said she was going to find herself a new doctor, and we suggested that she ought to. She does what I said, she'll get rid of night terrors. She was in the next week, and she said, Dr. Null, I did what you told me to. Said, I thought about it, I prayed about it, and my parents and I prayed about it, and we went through the house, and we took everything you set out, and said the day we did that, the baby stopped crying at night. And I never heard any more from the social worker and the nurse. But boy, I tell you, I'm sure everybody in the department heard about it. Boy, they were proud. They wanted it out of my mouth first before they went out and said that. if you worry about what people say about you, folks, I mean, you have to follow Jesus. But I say, go through your house and get these idols out. Get rid of the strongholds. Wind chimes. How many of you folks, got wind chimes in your house? Do you know what wind chimes are? They are oriental things, make noises to attract the right kind of demons. Mm-hmm. And they are, that's right, they were designed by the Buddhist monk to put out the right sound to attract the demons, the right kind of demons into the place. The good demons. Yeah, and they are a legal stronghold and will allow photographs to come into your house.
Yeah, they got nice crosses on them.
Well, praise the Lord. The devil comes as an angel of light. Thank you, Lord. Wind chimes. There's just lots of things, but you need to go through and you need to get rid of anything that's Oriental, practically, because almost all Oriental art is dedicated to the Oriental gods. Praise you, Lord.
Fish tanks. Most fish tanks in people's homes have a god in them. You know that? They got a Shinto temple in them. That's a heathen god you've got in your house. A lot of people have got little Mexican sun gods around on their ice box or different places. They've got another god in their house.
30 seconds, I'm done. But I want to tell y'all something. Why we need to learn how to do spiritual combat. I saw this on CNN News less than 2 weeks ago. Some of y'all might have saw it yourself, but I saw it. ACLU is trying to help an organization in Louisiana, okay, to get a voodoo book put into the school so the children have an option to learn voodoo skills in conjunction with the Christian skills. And they said that one of the skills is like young girls can take blood from their menstrual period and put in people in men's drinks and they'll draw them to them, putting spells. You think I'm dying? I'm just this truth. They do this stuff, man. And we better learn how to do some combat here, because that's what's coming against us out here. And that's what's really coming down. That's the real deal, man.
Amen.
Teaching kids how to take pictures from people and put pins in them and put them inside of a matchbox and bury them. And so within 3 days, they die of a brain hemorrhage or a suffocation. And that's the way voodoo works. That's their desires. And we got to learn how to put the blood of Jesus on this thing. He's bigger than the devil. Amen. But we got to learn how to use it. So I just want to challenge you to keep... That's the real deal, man. That's what's out there. That's on public television. That ain't something you're going to get on TBN, per se. That went on CNN News. I sat there and watched this guy. It was a Catholic school down there. He said, I'm not going to let him bring this stuff in my school. See, and there were ACLU was saying, well, you need to. See? Yeah, I'm telling you, let's do it right now. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Come on, sister. Get up here. You get that.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, just stand up and let's do a little warring.
Amen. Father, right now we come against this organization that is humanism. You spirit of humanism that's over America, we break your power in the name of Jesus. I say you're deaf, dumb, ineffective. Everything that's contrary to the word of God is trying to put on the Christians and bring in the skull, we bring it to naught in the name of Jesus. Bring it to naught in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. We apply the blood. Lord, I ask you to turn it around and begin to get these people saved, open their eyes that they can see and know the truth and be in the truth and walk in the truth. Now, I say that every evil intent, every effort for them to come against Christians, to come against America, you are deaf, dumb, ineffective, and you have no plot. No evil scheme or curse will go. Lord, right now I pray for media, the journalism. I pray that their eyes will be opened, that they'll see that they are being duped and they're duping America. Open our eyes, God, that we can see. And we pull down the stronghold over the White House. We pull down the stronghold over America that's bringing in humanism. We expose it as what it is in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Boy, we're ending this thing in warfare. That's glorious. Now we still got to pray for our nation today. Remember, we haven't done that yet. So we got to pray for our nation here as we close this morning. And the blessings of the Lord. I don't know what we're eating, but it's ready whenever we get there. Father, we do come and lift up our nation again before you. The sins of this nation, Father, and the abominations that are in the land. Father, we come with Daniel of old, who brought the sins of his nation before you, the sins of his fathers and his own sins. We lift up the sins of this nation, Father, and bring them in remembrance before you. Father, we don't know how you're going to do it or when, but we lift it up before you, and we bind the spirit of Antichrist over this land. I bind you, spirit of Antichrist, you spirit of rebellion, you spirit of rebellion against God. I bind you in Jesus' name, you spirit of perversion. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break your assignment over this land. I loose the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I loose the judgments of God in the land to come and bring that which will cause this nation to call on the name of the Lord and to repent and to turn from our wicked ways. I lift up the sins of our fathers before you, Jesus, and I ask, Father, to cleanse us and to set us free from the sins of our fathers and to break the curses that come down and to loose us from it, that we can serve you with all of our heart. Father, I lift up our own sins. I lift them up before you. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes and sets us free. I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for the blood and the scars and stripes that you bore, Jesus, on the whipping post so we can have health and life in our physical bodies. I speak to our physical bodies. By the scars and stripes of the whipping post, I command you to receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus. I command healing and restoration and life into our physical bodies in Jesus' name. We shall live and not die. We shall proclaim the name of the Lord. We shall be a testimony, and we shall proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.